I am what it says I am. Now say, I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, well, I'm piggybacking off of ladies' lesson entitled, The Time Is Now. Everybody say, the time is now. How many know faith is always in the now? Isn't that right? And so lady taught last Sunday, and then one of the things that she said that really caught my attention was, yesterday you said tomorrow. And it just kind of goes to the fact that a lot of times if we're not careful, we will put things off. And I hear Pastor Pat all the time saying, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. How many know that that's so very true? Your goals, your destiny, your dreams, they await you. But how many know that nothing just happens? You got it. Things must be planned, and they must be planned in faith. And so in times of frustration, sometimes when you're believing for something, there will be a moment of frustration. Sometimes when you're believing for something, there'll be days of frustration. Sometimes when you're believing for something, there will be seasons of frustration in your life. And you have to make sure that you don't let any day, moment, or season of frustration override your faith. That you stay focused, that you stay in faith, that you stay in the fight. Because if you stay in the fight, what's going to happen? You're going to win, right? And so I want to give you three things that I think that you should do. I was in a moment of frustration, and the Holy Spirit gave me these three things, and I want to share them with you. So in moments, days, or even seasons of frustration, there's three things that you must do. I'm going to give them to you all at once, and then we're going to unpack them. The first thing you must do is keep your head up, then keep your heart right, and then aim high. Everybody say, keep your head up, keep your heart right, aim high. All right. Now, just to those that are listening on the podcast, there are really hundreds in here, although it only sounded like there was 10, so we're going to try it again. All right, here we go. Everybody say, keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
Keep your heart right.
Keep your heart right.
Aim high.
Aim high.
All right, Philippians, the third chapter and the 15th verse. Go with me there. We're talking about keeping your head up. How many know that the Bible teaches us to lift up our heads? And so if the Bible teaches us to lift up our heads, we should lift up our heads. Philippians, the third chapter and the 15th verse says, so let's keep focus on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. How many know sometime along the way, your vision does get blurry? Sometimes it's because of a situation that you went through. Sometimes it could be a challenge that you went through. Sometimes it could be because of a sin in our life, just whatever. Sometimes our vision gets blurred, but we thank God for a faithful God that makes a commitment never to leave us, never to forsake us. He's always going to be with us, and he's always there to make sure that he clears our blurred vision. Now, verse 16 says, now that we're on the right track, let's do what, class? Now that we're on the right track, let's do what, class? Let's stay on it. All right. So one of the keys to staying on track is starving things like doubt and negativity. That's one of the keys to staying on track, is starving things like doubt and negativity. When you begin to understand doubt and things like that, doubt trusts what the world says. If the world says this, doubt believes it. If the world says that, doubt believe it. Doubt trusts what the world says. But how many know we must trust what God says? If God said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. I have faith in the faithfulness of God because his word has always been good and his word will always be good. And so you can't allow doubt on the inside, because doubt that lingers turns into disbelief or unbelief. And so you can't let doubt linger in your life. And so we must trust what God says. Proverbs 3 and 5, which is a very familiar passage of scripture for us, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Most of the time we keep going with this, right? Because what does anybody know the next part of this verse? In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path, right? And so we know that, but a lot of times it's good that we just back up and stop right here, because we're saying in all your ways, if you acknowledge him, he'll direct your path, and all that's true. But we have to stop and understand, if I will just trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean to what I think I know. Does that make sense? Because logic and human reasoning, sometimes if you're not careful, will override your faith and you won't get the manifestation that you're really believing for. Because sometimes things don't make sense, but they make faith. And so you have to, you know, it doesn't make sense that I'm working this job, but I should believe for this kind of house or this kind of car. Well, did you ever realize that God was way bigger than the job that you had and God could call somebody just to give that to you? But if you don't believe it, it doesn't become possible for you. And so I've learned that God knows what's going on even when we don't. That God knows what's going on even when we don't understand. And so that's why in moments of frustration, you have to starve doubt. You have to starve doubt and you have to make it up in your mind. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust his word. If God said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. So I'm going to starve doubt. Not only am I going to starve doubt, but I'm going to starve negativity. Everybody say negativity. Negativity. Thinks the way, see, doubt trusts what the world says. Negativity thinks the way the world thinks. And the world thinks that it's going to get worse before it gets better. You got it? The world says if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. The world says, have you seen the news lately? Everything is just bad. We're going down. Nothing's going to work. You got it. Our society, our this, that, and the other. You know, while in other news, I received, you know, I think week before last, we received a thing in the mail from India, and that is the missions that we're supporting on a monthly basis, and they're opening like 200 new churches, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't trust what the world thinks. You got it? Negativity thinks the way the world thinks, but how many know we must think the way God thinks? How many know it does not hurt anybody to be positive? But have you ever met negative people? I mean, everything is negative. Like, you know, good morning. What's so good about it? You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And so, you know, it's raining outside. You understand? But we thank God for rain because we need the grass to be watered to keep my grass green at the house. So we give God praise for a little bit of rain. You know, well, the sun is just shining. Well, I'm just glad it's not snowing. You know, it's just like always something. But when you have this attitude of gratitude, you watch this. Your positive attitude is not based on situation or circumstance. Your positive attitude is based on who God is. Father, I just thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for starting me on my way. I know I've got some challenges ahead of me, but with you, I'm going to overcome every one of them. And so you have to think positive. Now, I'm going a little far back with you guys on this one, but my kids and I were on vacation. Of course, my kids and I, lady and the kids, the family was on vacation. We were at Niagara Falls, and we were just had a lot of fun. If I learned anything about my kids, I learned that they're growing up, that they're pretty smart, and that they're also really crazy, all right? And I just learned a lot on this trip. And so, and then I learned that, like, things change. They see things differently than the way we do. And then, you know, we were talking about being positive, and I can't even remember what happened. And so does anybody besides me, when you were a little kid, remember the movie Jungle Book? Does anybody remember Jungle Book? Okay, because I even learned that, like, their version of Jungle Book and our version of Jungle Book is kind of different. You got it? But there are some parts of it that are the same, you know, and you had, like, you know, this little kid that's raising up, you know, growing up in the jungle, and there was, I don't know if he was a jaguar named Bagheera, but he, like, didn't like that idea. He thought that he should just go back home and be with people. You got it? And he had almost talked him into going back home to be just with his people until he met a bear named Baloo. You got it? And this guy, this bear named Baloo, in his mind, everything is just gravy. Everything is all right. There's no worries. Hakuna Matata kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? And so he was just teaching this little kid, oh, don't worry about what Bagheera says, because Bagheera says it's dangerous, and Bagheera says it's not safe, and Bagheera says when you get older, they're going to try to kill you. Bagheera says, he says, you don't need to worry about any of those things. He says, all you need to know right now is just how to make it in the jungle, and I can show you how to make it in the jungle. So he tells him to look for those bare necessities. Y'all remember that? Those good old bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. Yeah, man. I mean those bare necessities. That's how a bear can rest at ease with just those bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found off my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. If you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants and maybe try a few. And the kid says, you eat ants? He says, you better believe it, and you're going to love the way they tickle. The bare necessities of life, they'll come to you. They'll come to me. They'll come to you. He was so positive. So then Bagheera is up in the tree like, you're ruining this kid. It's not going to work. So he looks up at Bagheera and he looks back at the kid and he's like, when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear and you pick a raw paw, well, next time beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw, but you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaws. Have I given you a clue? He's not letting anybody or anything stop him or slow. Now, don't be hating on me because I know Jungle Book and Baloo the Bear. Because that was just his interpretation, but you got to come up with your own interpretation. That life is not as bad as people make it think. That life is not as rough as people make. Matter of fact, we're here today. We're breathing. We're not in the hospital. We're not laid up. He woke us up this morning. He started us on our... We really have a lot to thank God for. And so I might not be where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be, and I see better days in my life. Does anybody see better days in their future? So Isaiah 26:3 says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And I think that is the key. You've got to learn to trust in God. The writer says in Psalms 56:11, in God have I put my trust. He says, I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. I will not be afraid of what situations can try to do unto me. I will not be afraid of what circumstances can try to... Why? Because I, watch this. Now you have to just say whatever your age is. You don't have to yell it out because I know some people don't like to tell the age. But I'm 41 and God has proven himself to be faithful to me over these 41 years. Does that make sense? And so watch this. Because I've hit challenges and he's brought me through, and I've hit challenges and he's brought me through, and I've hit challenges and he's brought me through, and I made mistakes and he's got me out of them. Then I made some more mistakes and he got me out of them. And you, when you think I would have learned, I made some more mistakes, but don't hate on me because you made mistakes too. And watch this, but God is such a faithful God that he makes a commitment that no matter what happens, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you till the end. So the key is trusting in God. And that is how I starve my doubt and my negativity. Does that make sense? All right. And so negativity thinks the way the world thinks. But watch this. Not only what we think is important, but how many know what we say is important? Yeah, what we say is vitally important. Ephesians 4:29, I love this, in the New Living Translation, it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Everybody say, Having no Christian shouldn't cuss. All right? It says, this is what the Word of God says. You understand? It says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. You got it? And so we have to season our words with salt, and we have to make sure that we're led by the Holy Spirit in every single conversation that we have. And so, because how many know that the tongue can be pretty sharp? And so how many know it, just like it doesn't hurt or cost anything to be positive, how many know it doesn't hurt or cost you anything to be nice? Isn't that right? Yeah. And so I think that, you know, as Christians, that's one thing we should practice every day, being nice. Can I get a... All right. And so, so I'm going to encourage others. Watch this. But I'm also going to encourage myself. Yeah, I'm going to encourage others, but I'm also going to encourage myself. I don't normally talk about subjects like this. I stay away from this things, you know, as a pastor. Y'all know I don't believe in talking about haters and that kind of thing. I'm not like this. But I know the Lord wanted me to kind of go this route today because it just went in line with my lesson. And so, you know, yesterday we're just getting back yesterday afternoon, so we need some things. And so I think Lady was running to get her hair done real quick, and then I said I'll run to Harris Teeter. You know, I'll just kind of get some things that we need for the house. You know, just like stuff that you need for living, like cereal and milk and water. You got it? And things like that. And so I was going there, and I'm pushing home that I'm going to encourage others, but I'm also going to encourage myself. And so I run into somebody that I hadn't seen in a very long time. They used to come to the church. I really don't know why they left. Like, when they left, I reached out. I said, is there anything we did? Y'all know kind of how I am and those kind of things. They didn't want to say anything. So, you know, no problem. So I was just so happy to see them. You understand? And I saw the little kids. And so the kids were the ones I saw first. So I said, hey, and I called them by the name. They're like, and they're just looking at me. And I was like, oh, man. Because, you know it's important that adults keep adult talk to themselves, because when children hear it, it goes the wrong way. Because now they're looking at me like I'm some bad person and I haven't done anything to anybody at all. And so but I didn't let that bother me. I'm going to be my own self. I'm going to hug you, you know, and that kind of thing. They're just kind of like, you know. And so I go over to meet the adult and just say, hey, it's so good to see you. And they were like, and I was like, how are you doing? And I was like, wow. And so I was, and so I had already had my lesson done, you understand? And so the Holy Spirit says, no, it's just in that part, just don't tell them to encourage others, but tell them sometime they got to learn how to encourage themselves along the way, because, you know, people just can be mean, isn't that right? For absolutely no reason, you got it? Now, I'm not a very emotional person. If I was a very emotional person, I would have went to social media right away, but I wouldn't have said anything, like, mean. I just wanted to put, like, pastors are human, too. Like, just, like, newsflash, just so you know, like, we got feelings, too. Like, we don't like people to treat us bad, just like you don't like people to treat you bad. And so my whole thing was, I was going through, and I told my wife, it's funny, because, like, I felt bad for a minute, and then I almost felt a little bit of emotional for a minute, and then the Holy Spirit's like, man, you better get yourself together. You got it? And so I began to encourage my own self and tell me who I was. Say, hey, you're doing a great job in the city. Don't you worry about somebody that changed their mind about you. And I started saying, the church is doing this. We're doing missions. We're going on a big missions trip. We're about to give away 500 turkey dinners. And so I'm encouraging my own self. And then I got to the point, I said, and you got big shoulders. And I walked through Harris City like that. Now, for all my people that don't understand the whole big shoulder thing, years ago, when I used to actually, like, dress up and put suits on, those kind of things, I used to have them made, you know. And so I was going to have my suits made one time. I was with, I think, Pastor Briggs and a couple other pastors, and we were there. We were meeting the guy, and he was doing the measurements, and then he, like, did them a couple times. And I thought, like, you know, like, is something wrong? You understand what I'm saying? And I said, is everything okay? He said, oh, no, everything's okay. I just got to make sure I get it right, because you got big shoulders. And I looked and I said, yeah, I do got big shoulders. So anyway, sometimes you got to encourage yourself and remind yourself you got big shoulders. Amen? All right. And so you have to keep your head up. The second thing you have to do is you have to keep your heart right. It is so important to keep your heart right. Proverbs 4, verses 23 through 27 says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Can you believe the Bible said that? It says, avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Like, you know, we have this principle here at the church of everybody, leave everybody alone. Leave them alone. Not alone. Leave them alone. You got it? So all of a sudden you see this couple come to church, and the next thing you know, you only see the husband and not the wife. And now you're like, this is like the third Sunday, but it's none of your business. So don't go over to them and say, you know, well, where is someone? That's none of our business. We love everybody for who they are. We're going to pray for people. We're going to celebrate them, but we're going to leave them alone. You got it? Like, my whole thing is, if you notice something, it's not for you to go find out. If anything, it's for you to pray about. Does that make sense? So talk about the game, talk about the kids, talk about the sales that they got going on at the mall, but you got to learn that everybody should leave everybody alone. Leave them alone. And so he says, keep your eyes straight ahead, ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Watch what he says. Look neither to the right nor to the left. In other words, don't get distracted. Leave evil in the dust. And so the writer is very clear that the condition of our heart is so very important. The condition of my heart determines, excuse me, the outcome of my faith. The condition of my heart determines the outcome of my faith. And so that is why the writer says that you have to guard your heart. You have to be careful of what goes in your heart, because if you let the wrong stuff in, guess what? The wrong stuff's going to come out. Does that make sense? And so so you have to be careful of, you know, letting the wrong things go in. And that's why we have to be careful of negative environments and negative people. Can I get a... All right. And so, you know, and so and don't let things contaminate your heart, and don't be easily offended. All right. Everybody say, don't be easily offended. Yeah. If somebody lies on you, if somebody talks about you, if somebody changes their mind about you, love them anyways. You got it. I know I didn't get a whole lot of amens, but it's still the Bible. Offense is a choice. You have to choose not to be offended. Yesterday, I chose not to be offended. Does that make sense? And you have to choose not to be offended, because in my mind, that person may come around one time. And they might be like, you know what, Pastor, I really did you wrong. And because I kept my character in check, and because I did the right thing and had a good witness, you understand what I'm saying? I'm able to receive them back with love. Does that make sense? All right. And so, you know, and so you cannot be offended, because when you get offended, it messes your heart up. You got it. And you got too much at stake to be, you know, to be offended and messing your heart up. You got it. Falling out with people affects how you see God. So for no other reason than to have a clear picture of who God is, get along with everybody. How many know you can get along with everybody even though you don't agree with everybody? Oh, there's a news flash right there. You got it. And so so you have to keep your head up. You have to keep your heart right. And then you have to aim high. You have to aim high. And this was something that the Lord gave me, seriously, in just a moment of frustration. It was just like, and we all have frustrating moments. He said, just keep your head up, keep your heart right, and aim high. That's all you, like, you worry about you. And as long as you worry about you, everything else will take care of itself. You got it. And so everybody say, aim high.
Aim high.
Most believers shoot too low. Whenever we step out on faith, we're never stepping out on our ability, we're stepping out on God's ability. So even though we're not able, how many know God is? And that's the key. You have to learn how to step out on God's ability. We all know the scripture in Ephesians 3:20. That's one of my favorite scriptures. I quote it all the time. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. And you've got to understand that God is concerned about you. He's concerned about the things that concern you. He's concerned about the most intricate details of your life. So he's not some big God, you know, that's some tin can God that's a million miles away who's not concerned. God is concerned about the things that concern you. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And the New Living Translation says to give you a future and a hope. You know what that means? That means that God's got big plans for you. You got it. But you have to believe that God has big plans for you. And so every day I wake up, God, I'm ready for whatever you got for me today. You got it. Sometimes an opportunity will come your way and you're thinking, oh, this opportunity is too big. No, no, no. It can't be too big, because you serve a big God. Well, I don't know what to say. God will give you the words to say. Well, I don't know how to do it. Well, God will show you how to do it. You've got to understand that he is opening a door for you that no man can shut. And he's waiting on you to walk through that door so you can experience greater in your life. Everybody say, aim high. Look at your neighbor, tell him you're aiming too low. Tell him you're aiming too low. Now look at your other neighbor, your second choice. Tell him you're aiming too low. You're aiming too low. If you can dream it, God can't produce it. Did you hear what I said? If you can dream it, God can produce it. God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. And that is the key, believing that I serve a big God that can do anything but fail. The key, here's the key, you got to get this. The key is going after him, because he'll lead you to everything else. We know the whole seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. A lot of times people go after things. I'm telling you, you don't have to go after things, go after God. And when you go after God, things will start showing up. Does that make sense? Jeremiah 29:13. Watch this. I'm about to close. Jeremiah 29:13. Have y'all gotten blessed? All right. Jeremiah 29:13. Watch what the writer says. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me for me with what? With your whole heart, or with all your heart. He says, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart. Have you ever searched for something? You were looking for something. You got it? You know, and you were in a hurry. You got it? What if I told you all, what if I told everybody in the building that before I got here today that I put $100 under one of your seats? What if I told y'all that? What, okay, now, why y'all moving? Why y'all moving? I see people doing like, why are you moving? Why? And what if I told you that you only had 5 seconds to get that money and I was going to say, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What would you do? You would start checking it, right? You would start checking it, right? Right. What if I told you, Denise, where's your purse? You got a purse? Where's your purse at? You moving too slow, Denise. You got a lot of stuff in there, a little stuff. What if I told you, Denise, that I would give you $100 if you in the next 3 seconds could find, what should she find? What should she find? You got any, you got a nail file in there? You got a nail file in there? Everybody say three, two, one. Fingernail clippers. You better go get them. Five, four, three. Oh! Mama, mama. You got them? Did you got them? Right there. Well, there's your $100. You owe your mama some money. Did you see how quick she went and got her mama's purse and dumped that thing out? Because she was searching for those clippers. She was searching with her whole heart. The Bible says, when you search for me with your whole heart, you're going to find me. You're going to find that nobody can love you like I love you. Nobody can heal you like I heal you. Nobody can help you like I help you. You're going to find that I'm the God of all peace, that I'm the God of all joy. You're going to find that I got big plans for you and I can do anything but fail. He says, but it's only to the degree that you search for me with your whole heart. Everybody say the time is now. Yeah, you got to understand that the time is now. I'm ready now to make some things happen in my life. I'm ready to see the goodness of God now in my life. I'm ready to see debt freedom now in my life. I'm ready to see something I've never seen before. I'm ready for God to blow my mind. I'm ready for the exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Is anybody say, I'm ready? I'm ready for God to do it now. I'm ready for God to show up in my life. Now, I've been waiting on a miracle, and I believe that today is the day for my miracle. I'm ready now. I don't want to wait till next week. I'm believing God now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I'm believing God today. Because I believe he's a big God, and he can do anything but fail, but it's only to the degree that I search him with my whole heart. And if I search him with my whole heart, the writer says I'm going to find him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying all over.